The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, November 24th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adelia Jr. Joining me is host of PS I Love You XOXO, Greg Miller.
New episode out right now, youtube.com/Kinda Funny Games podcast services around the globe.
Greg, how are you doing?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I know Kevin has a thing that he really wants to tell everybody. Kevin?
Drum roll, please.
I'm upset that his mustache is going away. There you go. I said it.
Can you believe how fast my beard grew in?
Yeah. No, I can't.
Can you believe how slowly mine is?
Like, I'm
well, get up on camera. Let me see it.
We can't see anything. Everything's pixelated. Hold on.
Let me see. It's pixelated like you're broadcasting from dial up in 2002. Like, but yeah.
Give me a second. No, don't get too excited. No, I'm gonna switch servers.
Switching servers. It's gonna go black for a second, but don't worry.
I don't think you can say that anymore, Greg.
good one, Kevin. Hold on, so here we go.
There it is. Look at it. It's coming in. That's what I'm talking about.
You're getting not a chin strap, but kind of a chin strap where it's like it's growing in like mutton chops.
Mutton chops, yeah.
Yeah.
You just take the center out, you got little mutton chops.
I know how I feel
mutton
about
chaps.
It.
Well, you gotta go all month for the big beautiful kids, don't forget.
Yeah. I wrote down my notepad. December 7th, I believe, is when I can shave again. And so like I'm only 2 weeks away from being able to shave. And who knows? Like, maybe by then I'm like, oh, wait. No, this looks good.
Yeah, I mean, that's
and then
the
I don't shave, and that's the new me.
You've gotten past the itchy phase, right?
Yes. Like, it's not itching anymore. No more scratch.
I don't know,
which
man.
Is nice.
I think you should keep it, you know? See how long
you
it goes
so?
For. Like, my hair.
The thing for me is, like, I feel confident in myself when I'm shaved, when I'm clean shaven, because I think I look fine that way.
Yeah.
And when I'm in the process of growing the facial hair, like I just don't like it, I feel like I look foreign to myself and it throws me off.
Well, as a outside observer, it's hardly noticeable. So like I look at your face and I'm like, all right, yeah, he looks the same.
And we'll never see you in real life, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that's a very good point.
That's the thing about it, where we pick the best times for this. Because when I had the mustache, and I looked super, like, super not good. Like, somebody, you see me walking, and you're with your child,
you cross the street. I thought you liked the mustache.
I did, but I didn't. I liked it, but I didn't love it. And I think we can all admit I looked a bit creepy with it.
No, you actually wore it well.
I was wearing the mask.
No, it was a little creepy.
No.
Thank you, Blessing, for being
honest. I mean, it was like handsome creepy, though.
Kevin, it's a what kind of creepy?
Handsome
creepy.
Handsome
okay.
creepy. You know, like,
I
what's
you said
the. What's...
Cancer creepy. I was like, wow. cancer creepy.
What's the show
Porn
that's
stash.
Based off of Psycho?
You think.
Yeah, like, you know how, like, Norman Bates, and this is me knowing nothing about Norman Bates outside of watching Psycho. Like, you know how he's, like, this, like, creepy dude, but, like, kind of attractive, and it's like, man, I can kind of.
You get away with it. You can pull it off.
Yeah, like, he get away with it. I feel like that was kind of Greg with the mustache, where,
so,
like Greg is approachable.
Serial killer is what you're saying. He looked like a
famous, like, good-looking serial killer.
Yeah.
Grabbler. We all know the Grabbler. He can switch on a dime if he needs to. What I want to point out, though, Kevin, is here's what you need to know. If everybody says something's creepy and you're in the center saying it's not creepy, maybe you are creepy, Kevin. Maybe you're creepy, Kevin.
No, I'm not creepy. Here's the thing. Like, I will tell you when something looks bad. Like, I have no problem telling Nick or Tim his head is unfortunately shaped. It's like a peanut on its side, you know what I mean?
Tim's head is greatly shaped. I love the shape of Tim's head.
You've never seen it in real life. It's shocking. True. It's like he wore the headphones for too long while his head was still developing, you know?
He looks like this is a reference neither of you guys will get, but he looks like one of the peanut head people from the Proud Family movie.
I get it.
Yeah, you're right. I don't get that reference.
Kevin, you get the reference?
I didn't know the Proud Family had a movie. What the fuck?
Yeah, no, it had a movie with, like, they're on an island.
What?
Yeah, and they're like peanut head people. It's a very weird movie.
I know the image. Like, isn't there like a gif of them like all coming out? Like the yeah.
Probably.
All right. See, I know. Yeah. So fuck you. All right, man.
The thing I wanted you to say, Kevin, was that you won a game of Fortnite last night, and you were very proud of it.
Thank you very much. I didn't feel like I had to brag about that. But I'm glad you brought it up.
I mean, you
up.
Bragged about it twice before the show.
I was really excited. You guys don't understand. I've been coasting on my friend's like skill for so long with this game. And for the first time ever, I took some people down. And I felt like I actually helped get us there.
Very proud of you, Kevin.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to playing with you again. For people watching and listening, right, who haven't played Fortnite with Kevin, which is probably most of you, Kevin is the person in the group that I feel is needed, not on like a skill level like basis, but on a like Kevin morale. Brings the life, like a morale.
Thank
yeah, like
you.
Kevin brings
that,
the
that's
humor.
That's always my goal.
Kevin is the cartoon character.
We play later in the evenings, right? You know, the days, whatever. Because we've been working all day long. And I think when you have all of us paired up, there's that problem of we've talked all day on camera. So like there's that like I like to rest a bit. I know I'm not as gregarious, let alone when it's late. Mm-hmm. Kevin is there to keep the conversation liquid. He's keeping it fluid. Mm-hmm. He's keeping it going. He's the one tossing out the crazy podcast debates. Kevin, I think, I know Tim's got his own plans for what should happen in January with Kind of Funny 2021. I'm saying the Kevin Fortnite podcast. That's just we play Fortnite and record it and Kevin hosts and just whatever happens.
That sounds great. I mean, I'm going to half-ass host. Can I have Joey on and have her intro me?
Of course.
All right. Awesome.
100%. Enough about that. Let's talk about is Cyberpunk longer than we think? Red Dead Online going standalone and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, there's no KFGD tomorrow, Thursday, or Friday because we're taking the days off for the Thanksgiving holiday, and so look forward to us back on Monday next week. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by What the Golf is Snow Time, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have seven stories today.
A baker's dozen. Don't step Starting on my grass, with- Greg.
I was just trying to help you, Kevin.
Don't step on my grass, Greg.
I apologize, Kevin. I'm rarely in the shotgun seat. I forgot whose job it was. I just started doing it with you because I'm enjoying you so much. Now, here's real quick. I'm going to proofread this tweet. Then, this is breaking news, proofreading this tweet. Then everyone watching live will have to go retweet it and like it. And everybody listening and watching later will, okay? It's okay. twitter.com/gameovergreggy. Breaking news. At Kind of Funny Kevin won his first game of at Fortnite game, and he contributed to the victory. Can we get a round of applause? Then, new line, at Donald Mustard. Can we get a Kevin statue in the game? Hashtag Kevin Fortnite statue.
All right, just to be clear, I've been in games where we have won. I just haven't done anything for him.
How would you like this to be? Kevin won his first.
I'm fine with that. As
game
long
of Fortnite,
as
where he contributed
sure,
to the victory.
Sure. I don't care. You can lie as much as you want. You know what I mean? Like, I do whatever gets your message bigger and louder.
Breaking news, Kind of Funny Kevin won his first game of Fortnite, where he contributed to the victory. Can we get a round of applause? Donald Mustard, can we get Kevin statue in the game? Hashtag Kevin Fortnite.
Yeah, I think that's very good.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. You may also submit the photo of me at prom that I use as my default picture on Twitter.
I use the Corey gif of you in the tank top where you open your shirt and like the Jesus light comes out from
behind
you.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. Right, I got the ponytail.
That tweet is out, everybody. Twitter.com/gameovergreggy. Make Kevin's lifelong dream of being a statue in Fortnite come true.
Story number one, Cyberpunk 2077 might be longer than we think. This is Dom Pepiot at VG247.
I'll stop you right here and tell you, you lying son of a bitch, Blessing. Yesterday on this very show, you're trying to tell Tim, oh, it'll only be like 20
because
hours. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
40 hours. And that's because I swear I read that somewhere. And I should have Googled before I even like put this thing in the show notes, because like I swear that's written down somewhere where they're talking about how short it is. A Cyberpunk 2077 developer has pumped more than 175 hours into the upcoming RPG on the highest difficulty and has yet to finish the game. CD Projekt Red's lead QA tester, Lucas Babil, revealed that he has spent over 175 hours playing Cyberpunk 2077 and is yet to see the credits roll on the massive title. When asked by a curious fan if that huge amount of playtime is necessary for all players hopping into or hoping to complete the game, Babil replied, quote, "Not really. That's just one of my ongoing, slow-paced playthroughs on the hardest difficulty, where I play more stealthy than usual. Loot everything, use every feature the game has to offer, and take my time," end quote. No doubt, that will be good news for players hoping to sink as much time in the futuristic dystopia of Night City as they did into CD Projekt Red's last game, The Witcher 3. Greg, did you find anything?
I did. I'm on GFinityEsports.com, where they have like a roundup from April 1st about Cyberpunk news. Here you go. How long is Cyberpunk 2077? Recently, CD Projekt Red held a community meeting in Warsaw, Poland, where the developers discussed the length of the game. It turns out that CD Projekt Red has yet to measure every facet of the game's length, but have claimed that Cyberpunk 2077 won't take as long to complete as The Witcher 3, taking somewhere between 50 and 60 hours.
Okay.
So I think... what the truth is somewhere in between. That's mainline, just doing golden, that, you know, running through. And as you already reported in this, right, or the quote from Lucas here, right, is that, what is, are you hearing that too?
No.
Ah, over here. I'm like, there, it's, I'm like getting part of an ad where I'm getting like the PlayStation. It doesn't matter. Over here, he's talking about, yeah, this is a slow paced playthrough, hardcore, more stealthy than usual, and doing everything, looting everything, right? Like, I don't think 175 hours will be the average playtime for most people, but I do think it's going to be longer than 50 to 60 as well, because I think 50 to 60, I would assume, is them mainlining, right? Let's go through and just do what you have to do.
Yeah, I think this is a very fascinating range, right? Like the 50 to 175 hours for a playthrough, and 175 hours not even finishing the game, because I think it more so speaks to Cyberpunk being this game that you can play in whatever way you want to play it. And I wonder if, because 50 to 60 hours is still a long time for a game, right? And like when we put it in context for The Witcher 3, yeah, that's shorter than it takes to complete The Witcher 3. But like mainlining, and even mainlining with say some side quests, 50 to 60 hours, I'd be good with that. Like that sounds way up my alley for a game totally. That seems to be replayable and seems to encourage like taking these different life paths, playing in different ways, having different approaches. I wonder how many at the end of the day, when the game comes out, how many playthroughs we see from people that are on the 60-hour side as opposed to the 175-hour side? Because I would venture to guess that, like, for people that are probably playing this game action-y and playing this game on the more, let's say, RPG side of things, right? Like, yeah. I imagine that's probably going to flesh out around, like, the 60 to 80-hour range. Whereas, like, if you are playing, like, Lucas here, where you're being stealthy and you are probably doing, like, 100%ing 100% playthrough kind of thing, then yeah, I could see it. I could see it taking upwards of 200 hours, and I could see that being a very satisfying experience for people who want to play that way.
I have a question for you, Blessing. What's up, Eddie O'Yate Jr.? And it comes from the chat, and I know usually we don't do this, but I'm on the co-host seat, so I can do whatever the fuck I want now. Silent Plus, no, Pulse out there says, oh no, that's actually another one. I meant to copy the right one and I jumped. I was going to PJ Julian, who I'm trying to get back to his actual phrasing, but his question was, who at Kinda Funny is going to finish Cyberpunk 2077?
Not Tim.
Not Tim at all. No, we are definitely voting against Tim. We love Tim. As we talked about on PSI Love You XOXO, we hope Tim gets addicted to this and falls in love with Cyberpunk, and this is the first Western RPG that he's ever played, number one, but clicked with and been with all the way through. I don't see it happening, but I hope so.
It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. I agree, Kevin.
Andy will finish it.
Yeah.
Nah.
What are you gonna do? Yeah, come on.
I plan to finish it.
Blessing it. Yeah. 60 hours in, you're gonna say you like it, and you're gonna get back to it someday. You won't.
Here's the thing. This is the first game I'm reviewing. It kind of funny. That is probably that is this big that we're probably gonna get codes for like pre-release. Like
you actually mean like the length of the game when you say this big.
Yeah, like the literal length of the game.
Gotcha.
Because like in terms of games I've played this year, like long games I played this year, right? Persona 5 Royal took me 135 hours, and that's on the in-game save. In terms of my PS5, like you know how they tell you all the playtime for all the games that you played, right?
Yeah.
That on the native system tells me that I played Persona 5 Royal for like 160 something hours. And I think that's mainly like me having the game on the screen, probably not even paying attention to it, or being on the PlayStation menu. And so like between that, Ghost of Tsushima, which I put in 80 or so hours into total.
With Legends, yeah.
With Legends, yeah. I think those are the two longest games I've played this year. Neither of those were like played totally in pre-release. Cyberpunk, I'm going to go in with the goal of finishing it before we review it, depending on when we get the code.
Yeah, right.
If we get the, code later, then no. But like, I mean, what are your plans for that? Do you plan to finish it before the game actually properly comes out?
I mean, so let's be as frank as possible, right? We do not have codes for Cyberpunk right now. Cyberpunk comes out on December 10th, which is what? 2 weeks from Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks from Thanksgiving. I would love in a perfect world to have beaten Cyberpunk and be super locked and ready to go for the review. The question becomes, how hot is this game coming in? I know that obviously we've all seen the rumors. You talked about it yesterday on the show, right? That not the rumors. We've all seen, and you talked about the show yesterday, that copies of the game are out in the wild. And of course, that's all well and good that somebody broke street data on the boxes. Keep in mind that how it works for us reviewing stuff, and I don't mean us kind of funny, I mean us as the press, you still wait for a code from the developer slash publisher. And so in this case, even though people are out there with the game, that doesn't mean the day one patch is ready. That doesn't mean the game is in the state they want it to be reviewed in, which means they won't release the codes yet. They won't actually give you what you're up to and going off for. So I think we're in a strange situation, especially right now, where, you know, if the stars lined up, blessing Eddie Oye Jr., and at the end of today or even tomorrow, they're like, it's go time. Here are your codes. That would be such a great running start to actually having, in 3 weeks, having the chance to get there and beat this. Because I think the problem with Cyberpunk, and I shouldn't say problem, but I guess the double-edged sword of Cyberpunk is that this, from everything I've seen of it, is, and the timing of where it's dropping and my current hype levels are, it is 100% a game I don't want to rush. And I don't want to review it with a week to go and feel like I need to beat the story to have the real opinion. I'd rather play it for 3 solid weeks and get to the review embargo and be like, listen, I didn't beat it, but I've put in X hours, right?
Yeah.
And I've done this, and I think that this game is good, bad, or the otherwise, right? Here are all the things I've seen. You'd have that kind of opinion from it. So for me, it's less about beating the game and rolling credits on it and finishing the story for the review, because that's a spoiler cast conversation, and I don't think that's what this game is. IMO. Like, I don't get me wrong, the story is going to be incredibly important. That's, for me, the missing piece of all this, where Cyberpunk looks fantastic. I've seen the two demos. Obviously, I've watched all the Night Cities. I can't wait to get my hands on it. However, I'm not. It's what you were talking about with Tim yesterday, where, oh, man, be careful of spoilers. Right now, anybody could pop up with a spoiler and be like, well, Johnny Silverhand isn't dead, and he's telekinetically controlling you, and you guys go and kill Billy Bob at the top. And I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are. And do I care that 125 hours into the game, that's how it's going to go? No, because I'm making decisions, and I'm more excited to see what it means to be Corpo versus what it means to be one of the Badlands people and move on that way. That is, like, I've said it from the beginning of seeing Cyberpunk behind closed doors. This strikes me, and I know this sounds weird, but stick with me. This strikes me as the first RPG that I might actually role play in, where I've always, I always play games, right? And I make Taylor Swift, or I make Super Kara, or I make Clark, and I'm like, I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to make all the good choices, yada, yada, yada. For Cyberpunk to be in such a weird middling gray area, to have it not be, this is the right choice and that's the wrong choice, I really do feel that I'm going to play it for whatever the main thing is, and that's the goal, but I'm going to get caught up in side missions, hopefully, if the story's great and the voice acting is good and the world's explorable and I want to go do all that, right? That's what I want to go do, and I want to get lost in that, and that's what's important for the review. So I don't think, even if we got it, I don't know, like, you're hearing two different things. It's 50 to 60 hours or it's 175 hours, right? Like, either way, I want to know what that looks like and feels like, and if the main story is pulling me through and making me beat all that stuff, then yeah, hopefully in 3 weeks I would have it beaten for review. But in reality, I probably wouldn't, because I think I would take my time and mull it about and see what's going on, let alone the fact that I don't feel the power. And please correct me if I'm wrong, everybody. Feel free to tweet at me or say in the YouTube comments, or not chat because I'm hosting a show right now. But like, I don't feel the place of kind of funny necessarily, it can be, but not necessarily, is we've beaten the game and we've done everything and here's our final decisive review. We're done with it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we'd love for that to happen. It happens a lot of times and, you know, so on and so forth. But I feel like our reviews, I love the review so far, the review parentheses so far, where it is, all right, I put 30 hours in, Kevin's put in 19, Barrett's put in 60. Like, Assassin's Creed Valhalla is a great example of that. And then the conversations organically continue to happen in the myriad of shows we do, but it eventually goes out that way. I see Cyberpunk being like that, and let alone the fact that even though it sucks Cyberpunk got pushed back this far, it's coming out at a great time for us, where it's going to be cool. If we could get it right now and have Thanksgiving weekend to play it with days off, awesome. And then to have it go into Christmas and go into Christmas holiday break or whatever, where the industry slows down to begin with, like, trust me, long after the review of Cyberpunk in the month of December, you were going to hear us talking about Cyberpunk and into January, I'm sure.
Yeah. What's going to be the deciding factor for me finishing the game or not finishing the game is really going to be how much I enjoy it. Like, I'm going into this game with the idea that it is going to be like a Fallout for me, or like even an Outer Worlds, where I start it and I'm immediately addicted to it. Like, I'm immediately in love with it and I want to keep going. Like, I want it to be one of those games. I know you mentioned you want to play this game for over the course of weeks or over the course of a longer amount of time. I'm looking at it as something I want to like just dive into and get lost in, and
100%.
Like, you know, really, really demolish as a game. Like, that's what I kind of hope Cyberpunk is for me, because these types of games only come out few and far between. When I think of games where I'm like, oh, I really just want to like forget everything else and play this game and only this game for 2 weeks.
Cyberpunk, that's why I think it's such a 100% busting. You're nailing it. And I think that's why, again, it hits at such a great time where, yeah, obviously there's still things, stragglers that I want to put more time into. Demon Souls. You know, I want a Platinum Sackboy. I want Immortals Phoenix Rising. I want to play that and see if it holds up to what I had played earlier. All that said, Cyberpunk can then get that place to breathe in December where it's like, cool, I'm really not under the gun to review a bunch of different things. I can just get lost in this and, you know, do that thing where you're playing and then some side mission grabs you and you go down that chain and you're way off.
So I'm going to flip the question back to you. Who do you think beats this game at Kind of Funny, let's say by February?
I think... See, here's the question of it, is that for as much as we know about Cyberpunk, I don't know how it feels. I don't know if everything I've seen clicks together and feels like a rewarding experience, right? You've gotten to play it. You played it for, what, 4 hours or something?
Yeah, 3 to 4 hours.
And we've seen the behind closed door stuff and, you know, the E3 stuff, and we've seen the Night City Wires. It seems like a game that I'm going to really enjoy. And it seems like a game I'm going to want to see through to completion. And, you know, I was looking while we were talking, I did a quick Google because I have not been paying attention because I want to stay spoiler free, and I will stay spoiler free here as well. But I ended up on powerpicks.com where they had the Cyberpunk trophy list, right? And the synopsis of it after they put it all out is the Cyberpunk 2077 trophy list seems mostly completion based. Looks like we have to pretty much get 100% completion. We will have to do all the gigs and the hustles in each district. Those are basically the side quests and the side activities in Cyberpunk 77. We have to find these collectibles, buy all the vehicles, find all the it seems like something you could actually my concern with when they're like, oh, it's a shorter experience, we want to encourage replayability, is that it's going to be cool, beat it as Corpo, beat it as Badlands, beat, you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like they did that. So with that said, by February I think I would beat it, unless I get in there, and again, it's similar to kind of how I am with Valhalla right now. I love Valhalla. Valhalla is a really fun game, really great. I put what, 35-40 hours into it, but I was like, the story of Eivor is not hooked me. I'm not attached to Eivor like I was Cassandra. So it was just go to the new area, do the raid, kill all these dudes, expand my skill tree. All shit I love, don't get me wrong, and I will continue to play it. But it became less about beating it and rolling credits because I'm just fucking around and having a great time. And then it was like, oh, but Spider-Man, I want to go do Spider-Man Remastered. I do love the story. I want to see that all through, and I want to roll credits on that. Cyberpunk is this question right now for me of, is it going to be a game that I want to roll credits on, or is it going to be a game that, yeah, I put 50 hours into it. I did all this cool shit and it was great, but it started to be the same thing over and over again. And I bailed at some point, kind of like with what it was with Witcher 3, which is another game that I thought was great, but I put 25, 30 hours into that and never got out of Act 1. And granted, that was because there was so much to do, but that's how I feel like I'm going to play Cyberpunk 2. There's going to be a question mark over there. I'll go do it, but maybe I have to pepper in the thing. So anyways, long story short, I think I'll beat it. I do think I will beat the story of Cyberpunk. I think you said, I think you put him on your list. Andy will. Andy will stream it, and Andy, it'll be over a long time, I'm sure, but he's into that world and that style too. I think you will too. Like, I think, yeah, I mean, like.
Like, unless the, unless I am not as, in, I'm not going to be as in love with it as other RPGs that I like that are of a similar scale. Like, I think that'll be the only thing that'll keep me from beating it. Or I could see it being, because you mentioning, right, like how, like you mentioning Witcher in other games. I could see also a case of.
Did you finish The Witcher?
No, I did the exact same thing as you, where I got probably 30 hours in, and then I got to a quest where they were like, hey, look for Dandelion or somebody, and I was like, all right, I think I'm good now. I think I'm done. But, like, there have been quite a few people who I've talked to who played Breath of the Wild, who absolutely adored Breath of the Wild, but never rolled credits on Breath of the Wild, because for that game, obviously, you had to go beat Ganon in Ganon's castle or whatever in order to actually roll credits. And there are so many people who I talked to who are like, well, I wanted to get all the shrines first, or I wanted to do everything in the world first before I rolled credits in the game. I can see Cyberpunk having a similar thing where people are like, no, this world is so deep and there's so much to do that I don't want to finish the story until I do everything. And I could see that being like the thing that keeps so many in like that. It's like that. And that's where beating the game becomes like a weird conversation, because, you know, you can have a full experience with the game without actually rolling credits. You know, like there are people who put in hundreds of hours to a game without rolling credits, right? And you wouldn't say that those people didn't experience the game. And I can see Cyberpunk being having a similar thing with quite a few people. If it is that kind of experience where, oh man, there's so much to do. And okay, I guess I could keep going down this main mission path. And I guess I could do this final mission, right? That like alerts me that it's the final mission before I hop back to the open world. But why would I do that when I have 15 different side quest chains, and I have this other collectible thing that I'm doing, and I have this weird story path that I'm following? Like, I could see it being that thing for me too, where I get into it and by February I'm still playing it like a little bit at a time because there's so much to do. The more I talk about this game, the more I'm hyped about it. Like,
dude, I'm the same way. You would ask me a couple weeks ago about like hype levels for it, and I think we were so up in next gen and so all these things and these immediate things and reviews and everything else that it was like, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but like I'm not like out of my mind about it. I'm not out of my mind yet, but I am refreshing my inbox all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, is there any word about these codes? Like, I really do want to get in. I really do want to play. I really do want to see what this world's all about.
Yeah, and I see Psychedelic in chat is saying Bless has had 3 hours with it and is still unsure. That's a bit of a problem. The unsurety is more so this is a deep game. Like, this game, 3 hours of Cyberpunk is not a long enough time for me to be like, oh, I'm going to be in love with this game, or oh, I am completely sold that this game is going to be a 10 out of 10 in my heart. Cyberpunk is way deeper than the game.
I think, you know, to so many games with deep systems and stuff going on, 3 hours is not nearly enough. I doubt in 3 hours of Cyberpunk you're gonna have. I think about, like, you know, Breath of the Wild, like you're talking about it, where early on, right, you had all your abilities, you had all your things, you're ready to go. Like, the game, as soon as you hopped off the tower, right, to go really start your adventure in Hyrule, you were fully equipped. But like, that's rare, right? I think even in Assassin's Creed right now, I'm still getting things that are brand new that pop up and tell me about it. How all the systems work together, what you're doing. I mean, we're not talking about the moment to moment. What does it feel like to hold a gun? It's more about what do your augments do and where does this go in the skill tree? And then where do you get over there? And like, what are these mini activities you're doing? How that all claps together.
Exactly. We're going to keep talking about Cyberpunk as that game slowly approaches. But
I think December will be all Cyberpunk on this channel.
Yeah, exactly. And so let's get into some other topics, like story number two, Red Dead Online going standalone. This is directly from the Rockstar blog I'm going to read from. Red Dead Online, the vibrant, ever-evolving world where you can take on a range of unique roles in pursuits to blaze your own outlaw trail across the American frontier, will be available to purchase as a standalone game from the PlayStation Store, Microsoft Store, Rockstar Games Launcher, Epic Games Store, and Steam on December 1st. For the first time, new players who do not already own Red Dead Redemption 2 can experience everything Red Dead Online has to offer, including access to all future content updates. Forge your own path across any of the five unique specialist roles, help the widow, Jessica Leclerc, and her right-hand man, Horley, gain revenge upon the men who killed her husband in a land of opportunities, a series of story-based cooperative missions for 2 to 4 players. Compete in showdown modes and much more. Red Dead Online will be available from the PlayStation Store, Microsoft Store, Rockstar Games Launcher, Epic Games Store, and Steam at an introductory offer of $4.99 US dollars, which is 75% off the regular price until February 15th, 2021. Please note that PlayStation Plus and or Xbox Live Gold are required to play. The PS4 and Xbox One versions of Red Dead Online will be playable via backward compatibility on PS5 or Xbox Series hardware. The new standalone version of Red Dead Online will require up to 123 gigabytes of disk space and will also include the option to unlock Red Dead Redemption 2 story mode, which will be purchased separately. Greg, it's happened. They're splitting it off. What's your reaction to this?
Cool. Right, expected, I think, in a lot of ways. Like, you know, it's interesting they're announcing this. Obviously, we're still waiting for GTA Online, which is coming as a standalone for next gen on all these different, well, PlayStation 5 and Xbox. But yeah, good. I mean, you know, there's been, it's been interesting with Red Dead, where GTA Online is such a fucking phenomenon. And Red Dead has an audience, but not anywhere near what GTA Online had. And I think when we saw the release of Red Dead Redemption 2, there was that conversation of, oh man, will this shift all those players? Will they, you know, how is this going to go? Is it going to be another GTA Online? And it hasn't been, which isn't to say, I mean, like, how do you follow up one of the most successful things of all time, right? But like, it's cool to see this being broken out. It's cool to see people getting in. I like the giant discount to get people through the front door to get in there and play it. Cause again, my experience with Red Dead Online was, you know, buggy and not great, but I did it at launch and kind of stepped away from it. And I've never been back just because I've been onto a million other things.
I wish they would take a note from Fortnite and go totally free to play with Red Dead Online. I feel like that would be the and I know it's for Rockstar. They're probably like, no, like, look how much money we've made with GTA Online, like by selling the copies, by selling copies of the game and selling I forget what they're called. The it's like Red Bull. What's like the money packs in GTA Online?
The shark card.
Shark card. I don't know where Red Bull came from. I guess that's a different.
It gives you wings. That's why.
It does give you wings, but yeah, selling shark cards bundled in with GTA Online and like all of the different monetization strategies they have with that game, right? Like, go a long way into making that game one of the best selling games of all time at this point. And so I understand why Rockstar would be hesitant, but for Red Dead Online, which doesn't seem like it's like it has the same pull or going to have the same pull.
It has to set the world on fire.
Like, I feel like going free to play and going the Fortnite route, and maybe that does mean more more microtransactions, you know, within the game. Who knows? I think that would go a long way into getting people in, because people are already like the whole gaming world is already very familiar with GTA Online. Like, GTA Online has a huge base. We talk about it all the time. And if those folks see Red Dead Online as something that is easily accessible, granted that $5 is very cheap, you know, for the first couple of months of it being a standalone thing.
Yeah.
The more you break down those barriers into entry, the more you give people the opportunity to feed in from GTA Online into Red Dead and build in new players for that game, I think the more you see that game start to blow up in the way that you want it to.
Yeah. And I think that's would be the easiest way, is to convert those people. And I think it'll be interesting to see who gets on the train first. Will it be will Red Dead Online as a standalone be a PlayStation Plus thing? Will it be a Xbox Game Pass thing? Like, where's the deal you can do there to get people through the front door and get them into it and see if they can, you can get them addicted to the, or not addicted, but then, you know, not addicted in the bad invested way, addicted in the more nominal way, invested. So they're then spending money on microtransactions and going through and getting their friends to play with them.
I've been thinking about GTA Online for next gen quite a bit lately.
Sure. You have.
I am excited about it. Like, I especially if they cut down on the load times with the SSD and all that, like, if they're able to get rid of those barriers, which for me have been the pain point that have kept me out of GTA Online for the last couple of years, like, that's stuff I was able to put up with toward the beginning of the PS4 generation and the when I had the game on PS3, because, you know, that's the world we lived in, that's what I knew,
that's all you knew. Now you can't go back. Now
I can't go back. Like, I've tried to go back a million times to GTA Online because I love it so much, but the load times have just gotten so so noticeable and like so unbearable, and like it coming to next gen genuinely has me excited. And I'm now like even looking forward more so to GTA 6. Like, I've started to hunger for that game in a way that I wasn't hungering for it before, and I can't wait to see what it is. And this makes me think that GTA 6 might even have online as a standalone thing off the bat. I wouldn't be surprised if they came out and they're like, oh yeah, in GTA 6, we're putting out GTA 6 single player in, let's say, 2022, 2023. And then the following year, they follow up with GTA Online 2, or they call it GTA 6 Online, and have it be its own thing. That wouldn't surprise me in the least, given what they've done with both now with GTA Online for GTA 5 and Red Dead Online. we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I have, like, you know, everybody has, not everybody, but a lot of us people who are single player gamers are like, oh man, can't wait for GTA 6. Are we get, when are we getting a GTA 6? Are we getting a GTA 6? I've heard the rumors of GTA 6, but like, what's the impetus behind that, other than, I guess, getting people back to GTA Online? But again, do you change GTA Online? Do you make that GTA Online 2, or do you just keep it as the platform and reboot everything there?
I mean, now that the platform just feels so archaic at this point, that I feel like you got to revamp it and reboot it to make it align with, like, the times we're in, right? Like, you got to take advantage of the new hardware. You got to take advantage of technology now, because GTA Online was built off of the PS3 and Xbox 360, and like, if when you play it, you can feel that. And they've done things to modernize it a bit on PS4 and Xbox One, right? Like, there are more players in lobbies. It looks nicer, the first person mode, all this different stuff. But at this point in 2020, going back to GTA Online, I really feel the archaic nature of that game. So I think you rebuild it, but I think the question does become, yeah, what is GTA 6? Like, do they even bother with single player? Which I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, no. And that would bum me out, but
that would so wouldn't surprise me out.
Yeah. But again, we'll have to wait and see.
We will have to wait and see.
Story number three, Microsoft hints at turning Xbox into an app for your TV. This is from Tom Warren at The Verge. Microsoft is in the early phases of rolling out its xCloud streaming service on mobile devices, but TVs are the next logical step. In an interview with The Verge, Xbox chief Phil Spencer has revealed we'll likely see an Xbox app appear on smart TVs over the next year. Quote, I think you're going to see that in the next 12 months, said Spencer. When asked about turning the Xbox into a TV app, quote, I don't think anything is going to stop us from doing that, end quote. Spencer previously hinted at TV streaming sticks for Microsoft's xCloud service last month, and this latest hint suggests we might see similar hardware or an Xbox app for TVs during 2021. Microsoft is currently working on bringing xCloud to the web to enable it on iOS devices, and this work would naturally allow xCloud to expand to TVs, browsers, and elsewhere. Microsoft was previously working on a lightweight Xbox streaming device back in 2016, but it canceled the hardware. Microsoft has been testing the idea of streaming in TV sticks ever since the company originally demonstrated Halo 4 streaming from the cloud to Windows and Windows phones all the way back in 2013. Greg, an Xbox app on TVs, is it the right move?
Yes, it's inevitable. Let's get going. Let's get testing. You know what I mean? Like, let's start, have the learning process begin, have this start rolling out and see where the problems are. But yeah, this is Xbox's plan, right? This is what we've talked about for the entirety of the run-up to this next-gen war. Again, also, this Verge interview/podcast, right, is a really great read/list. I only read it, but I know there's an audio version I think you can get. And one of the things, you know, Phil talks about in there is, like, this stupid fucking console wars and how if anything's going to drive them out of the industry, it would be that tribalistic nature of people fighting and bickering about it. And he makes some great points. But in this specific quote and example here, right, yes, like, this is what we've talked about where, you know, PlayStation and Xbox are playing two different games going forward, and who nets out and who wins, and maybe they both can, it's going to be very interesting to see. But yes, getting the Xbox app onto TVs makes so much sense because that's what they want to do. This app needs to be everywhere. It's what they've talked about. And now as TVs continue to get smarter, yeah, it makes sense to put them out there and go. Of course, you know, we run into the same problem we've had always when we talk about streaming technology of where, you know, for the United States, broadband access is and what that looks like. That's always been what we've talked about, right? Because yeah, here in San Francisco, it's great. My PlayStation 5 is pulling down, you know, downloading it, whatever, 700 per or whatever megabit, right? When it's 700 megabits.
You're nailing it, my dude. That's it. You got it.
It's just yanking it out of the cloud. Just doing it there. It's milking it. It's going, hey. But like, God, across the country, you know what I mean? Like, they're lucky to get 30 or something. And so you have this different thing. And that's where we've come. This is the thing we've run headlong into in the argument with Jim Ryan. Be like, there's no storage problems. And everybody who has to leave their console to download something overnight is like, yes, there is. There's a huge problem with this. Like,
yeah,
where we're going with it is going to be interesting, but we're inevitably going that way. And I think you have to keep planning for that future. And Xbox Game Pass on the TV is the future.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think this is a fantastic idea, and like, it's like you said, inevitable. Especially when you talk about the tug of war of the price of playing video games, how expensive video games are, right? Like, I think the increase to $70 has made. I just, I didn't. That went down in real time. You see the drops that just went down, Greg. Sure, if you're an audio listener.
It was one of those things where I thought, no, did I get away with it? Did I get away with it? Because I had the mic blocking, and then you laughed, and I was like, fuck, I did not get away.
If it was like a small drop, you know, that it wouldn't have distracted me.
You notice that? He's got no
chill. It's the fact that it's like, it was half that bottle that just spilled down his shirt that got me. But yeah, like when we talk about the price of video games going up, right? Like I think the $70 price increase has led to something like Xbox Game Pass being more valuable. And then yes, like seeing game streaming and xCloud become more and more of a thing and continue to push, and the idea of having the streaming stick and the idea of having the app on the present on smart TVs, I think only lowers the barrier for entry in terms of gaming and people being able to play video games. And I think that's awesome.
I think you and I have both talked about it on separate shows, right? But for me, it was like, okay, telling my friend who's buying her little brother a PlayStation 5, just get him PlayStation Plus. He missed this entire generation. He'll get to play all these great PlayStation 4 games and the value of that. And then you, you're talking about your nephew of sending him your Xbox. And if you just got Game Pass, it would take care of your sister not having to worry about buying him a game for a year, right? Like, that is the power we have right now in terms of the console area and hardcore unquote gamers, right? But to expand it out to a TV and have it be, hey, talking to your just regular friend who comes over and sees a game and plays it, and like, this is great. Oh, well, when you go home, you can just download the app for free, and then they have probably a 1 month trial or whatever introductory offer, and you can get all these games. And then it's the same thing as always, right? They start getting invested, which is what Xbox's approach is, where, all right, cool, well, I haven't bought a controller in forever, so I'll buy a controller. All right, cool, I got an Xbox controller, I'm playing on the TV, I'm having a great time, I'm playing all these different games, and either I like one of them so much I want to see it in better resolution, or I'm back into gaming and I've been following, and what's this new game that isn't on Xbox Game Pass but everybody's talking about? Oh, well, I already use Game Pass so much, why not upgrade to a box and get an Xbox Series S? Or so close to an Xbox Series X already, why not? Like, that's what they're talking about in terms of getting people into the ecosystem and have them play anywhere and be everywhere.
Yeah. No, it reminds me of Samsung TV Plus, which is a thing that I use quite a bit. And I'm very curious to see what the numbers are for Samsung TV Plus, because it's like it's basically for my Samsung Smart TV, a built-in like TV subscription that's free if you have Samsung TVs. And like through it, I watch like there's what, Nick Pluto, which is like old Nickelodeon shows. And I watched iCarly and like random old Nickelodeon, Kenan and Kel, random old Nickelodeon shows all the time on it. Yeah. And like, you know, I think of the use case I would have, let's say when I was back in high school or college, where, oh yeah, if I owned a Samsung smart TV and it has an Xbox app and my friends are coming over, and knowing me, my friends, we'd be like, oh yeah, let's play FIFA. And it's like, all right, who owns FIFA? Nobody, but I do have Xbox, and it's only $10 to get Xbox Game Pass, and that has EA, which has FIFA 19. Like the path that goes down in terms of opening things like that up to people, I think is incredible. And like, 100%. I'm happy it's happening, because more people are getting more options. Speaking of Xbox though, story number four, something seems up with Xbox Quick Resume. This is from Ari Notice at Kotaku. For several days after the launch of the new Xbox Series X and S, Assassin's Creed Valhalla supported the console's best new feature, Quick Resume. Today, that no longer appears to be the case. Another sign that something is awry with what was supposed to be a key next-gen Xbox perk. In our early testing of Quick Resume prior to the launch of the new Xboxes, we found that a lot of games supported the feature. Then, Microsoft notified us that the discovery of a bug tied to the feature required a system update that would then require games to be updated individually to support the service again sometime after launch. When the Series S and X debuted on November 10th, we noted that Assassin's Creed Valhalla was among the games that supported the feature without issue, and how cool it was. Bouncing between various smaller indie games is one thing, leaping to a massive Ubisoft map game, skipping those lead-in load screens, and picking up your axe exactly where you left it was a huge indicator. Yes, wow, the Xbox Series X and X really are really next-gen machines. Over the weekend, however, some of us on staff noticed that Valhalla started booting up from scratch every time. No warning, no quick resume badge on the splash screen, it just stopped resuming quickly. Kotaku has reached out to Ubisoft for comment. We're not alone. A search for Quick Resume Valhalla or other permutations on social media turns up complaints dating as far back as November 15th about Assassin's Creed Valhalla, seemingly and inexplicably falling off the Quick Resume roster. Many of these people say Valhalla used to work with Quick Resume and then just stopped, one user weighted the possibility of filing a bug report. The issue is that some games work and some don't, and there's no and there's precious little clarification in either direction. In its current state, the Xbox Guide won't show you a list of games your console is currently suspending at any given moment. Greg, you've been playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I guess you played Assassin's Creed Valhalla on Xbox Series X, but you're probably playing on a PS5 now.
Correct, yeah. And so I was using it back when it worked and Quick Resume was going on it and stuff like that. And so, yeah, to see it fall off like that, it's like, oh, that sucks. But it's good to know Microsoft's working on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think they've been forthcoming that, hey, there's problems. We're trying to figure it out. Like, this goes into the pile of everything else that's been happening, I think, around next gen right now, right? Where people have been finding all sorts of things that don't work the way they're supposed to and that are fucking things up. And that's always the expectation, I think, with a console launch and hardware launch, that you're going to run into problems. And so I would take all of this and the crashing of Spider-Man and having to rebuild your database, I'd take all of that over fucking three red lights any of the day of the week.
I'm reading chat right now. I'm laughing.
They are losing their minds that you missed.
I mispronounced awry.
Yeah.
I looked at that word and I was like, that's an interesting one. And I kept going. And I was like, fuck, that was awry, wasn't it?
Yeah, it happens all the time. Don't worry. You know what I mean? I've watched these streams from these kind of funny best friends before, and they fuck up shit all the time, and they don't get called on it like we do.
But yeah, it's unfortunate. And I think this is another one of those ones where it's like, hey, like, it's launch season. Like, these consoles are going to go through it. There are going to be issues. There are going to be problems. And like, for both PS5 and Xbox Series X, there have been a number of issues that have popped up on the internet that will probably not be a discussion point 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now. And like, this is one of those ones where it's like, dang.
It's for me, it was, I think, you know, I put this into the Games Daily Slack of like things to get tossed out there, that I think it's interesting to watch it being removed and what's going on. But I don't think it's like nefarious where, you know, Kotaku has reached out to Ubisoft for a comment. I'm sure it's like, yeah, it fucking breaks something. You know what I mean? Like, it does something where it doesn't cache right and then this crashes. So we're working on it and that's what's going on. I think it's interesting to note for people who are going to eventually run into this and be like, wait, I thought it was, wasn't Quick Resume happening here, and not that, no, they're still swapping it and swapping it out, trying to figure it all out. But it's just a heads up, I think, more that it's happening, and that, yeah, these things are to be expected with the launch of any hardware.
Story number 5, Fortnite is getting a monthly $12 subscription for exclusive in-game items. This is Andrew Webster at The Verge. A new season of Fortnite is almost here, and alongside it, developer Epic is introducing a monthly subscription service called Fortnite Crew. For $11.99 each month, Fortnite players will get 1,000 V-Bucks, Fortnite's in-game currency, an exclusive character skin and gear, and access to the current season's Battle Pass. In essence, the new offering serves as a higher tier for those looking to spend some cash on Fortnite. Previously, this function was served by the Battle Pass, which cost 950 V-Bucks, which is around $10, but lasts for several months. Fortnite Crew is much more expensive, but also offers more, including the enticement of exclusivity. Epic says the cosmetics available as part of the subscription service will, quote, never be sold or given away to non-crew members, end quote. Greg, you're Fortnite fan number one.
That's what they call me. Remember, everybody, when Galactus comes next week. Yeah, next week on Tuesday, December 1st, we'll be here, 12:30 Pacific time, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Kevin, I actually sent you the trailer for it on Slack if you want to toss it up while we talk about it. My reaction immediately is like, cool. I don't think it's for me, but cool. But it could be. I don't know. Like, it's interesting, right? Because it gives you the battle pass, right? It gives you an access to the current season's battle pass. What I'm not Fortnite fan number one enough about is telling you, it says plus the battle pass. Is that giving me just it must be just giving me the one that you pay for and not get the boost for, right? Because you get a boost if you pay for the one, you get the 25 levels for free if you pay for that one. So this must be just the normal battle pass, right?
I wonder if it gives you 950 plus 1,000, and like that 950 is supposed to be used for the normal one.
Boost?
Yeah. Huh. This is a tricky one.
My thought about it, like, you know, it's looking right through, if it covers the 25 battle pass, right? Or if it nets out to be the same as what you'd pay for the battle pass, which I'm not sure about. That's where I start getting into the weeds here about battle passes. Hold on. Fortnite battle pass. If it nets out that it's getting me the same thing as a battle pass, all right, sure, here you go. If it's that it's getting me less than the battle pass, then no, probably not. Because, like, for me, I personally, the skins I buy are the IP branded stuff, right? Like I bought Venom, I bought Captain America, I bought the 25 levels to get really deep as I could into the Marvel season here. That's where it's more about for me than it's about going through and having exclusive stuff. Granted, I mean, I'm definitely saying there is an audience for this. I'm not trying to take away from that. I just don't think it's the biggest deal for me.
Interesting.
You care at all?
Not. I mean, I don't play Fortnite to care enough. Like, I don't even buy the battle pass. Like, the only way I'll get a battle pass is if we somehow get a code for it. Which, like, every now and then you'll come through and be like, yo, Bless, here's a code for a battle pass, come play Fortnite. And that's when I'm like, okay, cool, let's go. But I'm not the audience for this. I see some people getting upset about this because of the exclusive skins, and I kind of get that, right? Especially if you're a person that is buying the battle pass, which is one price you're paying every season, right? It's like a seasonal thing.
Yeah.
You know, I can see if you're a person that's paying for that and then see this monthly thing and you're like, oh, I don't want to pay for that. But if there's exclusive skins with it, I can see the case for getting upset with that. Because that feels like they're trying to get money out of you twice.
Here's the thing, all right? Follow me on this. Mm-hmm. Right now, you can get the battle pass for only 950 V-Bucks. So that would be just getting the battle pass. That's not getting the boost I'm talking about, right? So that's 950 is what? About 10 bucks? Yeah, it's 10 bucks right there. Yeah. Yeah, previously this function was served by the Battle Pass, which cost 950 views, but lasts for several months.
How easy is it in Fortnite? Because I know you earn V-Bucks through the Battle Pass. How easy is it to earn back enough to buy back another Battle Pass? Like, is that a thing people regularly do?
Well, I mean, you're playing right now, right? How far off from 950 do you think you've earned? If you complete the entire Battle Pass, you get it. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're not spending on
skins
stuff,
and stuff.
Yeah. Then I think it's fairly easy, and you're playing regularly.
Okay.
Then it's because like right here's now
the long
like
and short of it. So it's $12 to get this subscription. It's $10 to get the just battle pass. If you were gonna buy the battle pass regardless every season, then doesn't it make perfect sense to do this? Because basically you're doing that, and then for an extra $2, you're getting exclusive skin gear and 1,000 V-Bucks.
Well, wait, is it not?
On, it depends not, on how like, long the season lasts, though, right? Because if the season lasts 3 months, now it's $30. I don't know how long seasons usually last.
Oh, you're right. This is monthly. Yeah. My apologies. Yeah, okay, that's what I was stupid. Say. You're right. Sorry, I got so lost in trying to decide the price of battle passes that coming back to the story, I buried that fact. You're great point. Yeah. So at which point, no, I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather just buy the battle pass and go after that stuff. They
at
better
what
start
point,
with a fucking hot ass. Skin if they want people getting.
I was gonna say, what if they put in there? I'm trying to think of a skin that like hasn't been in there before that
Superman
would blow people
upon.
Away. Yeah, if they put in a Superman skin for the Fortnite crew thing, right? Which is the $12.99 a month thing.
Sure.
Or $12 a month thing. Would that be the thing that'll make you cross over?
100%.
Or would you have any complaints with that?
No, not at all. But that's the thing is, if it's a one time thing, like is this like WWE Network? Is it a you know, subscribe once and you can cancel anytime? I'm not locked in for 3 months in a row, right? Our little article doesn't say anything.
Oh,
about
no.
That.
Yeah. No, I think it's a monthly thing, right? So you can probably subscribe for a month and then cancel at the end
of
the month.
So it makes sense then, I think, that if for at the start of a season you do it, right? You get your battle pass for the season and bounce.
Fair.
Right.
Yeah, no, that
for
makes
1 month, then for you get the $2 extra there.
Hmm. Well, cool. Story number six. Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity on Switch is breaking sales records. This is Stephanie Nunnally at VG247. Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity has sold really well. Released last week on Friday, November 20th, Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity has already sold 3 million copies. Koei Tecmo called it a record for the series. It is now the best-selling game in the Warriors franchise, which includes the likes of Hyrule Warriors and Fire Emblem Warriors. A spinoff of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, The game focuses on the catastrophe depicted in the past. The focus is on a battle that took place 100 years before the events of Breath of the Wild. Congratulations. Does this surprise you, Greg, that this is the highest selling or the fastest selling Musou game?
No, of course not. What a franchise attached to it, right? And
yeah.
What a backstory to give to it. I think that even me, who Greg Miller, who doesn't like Musou's, like I, you know, have downloaded Age of Calamity. Like, I'm like, oh, I like Breath of the Wild, and everybody seems to think that it's a cool interpretation of that, and it's a you know reason to jump back into Hyrule. Like, I have no current plans right now to go run off and play it, but when I get, you know, holed up with my Switch next time, I want to do that.
Yeah, I've only booted up once so far, and for the about an hour or so that I put into it, like, it seems really cool. It is a little bit of an eyesore switching from playing a 60 FPS game on my PS5 and then coming to Hyrule Warriors, and there's so much happening on screen, and you see it chugging a little bit. You know, there is that, but for what it is, it seems really cool, and it seems very faithful to Breath of the Wild, and I would never not be impressed. Like, I know it's not a new thing, this isn't like a surprising thing, but it always impresses me the attachment rate that Nintendo Switch games have when they're attached to a Nintendo franchise.
Oh my god,
like,
yeah.
3 million for a Musou game is impressive. And then you look at other, like, the best-selling Switch games, right? And how it's like 20 million, 25 million for a console that has, what, like, last we heard, around 60 million units out there. That's wild. And so go get them, Nintendo. And Musou games.
Go get them, Nintendo.
Go get them. Before we get into our last news story, I want to tell you about our sponsor. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by What the Golf It's Snow Time, which is available on, I believe, Apple Arcade. What the Golf It's Snow Time is developed by Triband. What the Golf thinks that hitting things and seeing them fly is by far the most fun part of the timeless sport of golf. But why golf with just golf balls? Why not golf a snowman, a carrot, a sleigh, and of course, snowballs? The only thing that you can count on in this winter-themed Apple Arcade game is constant laughs alongside the goal of golfing just about any object imaginable, including hot dogs. Featuring 30 new levels, snow scientists, and a limited edition winter trophy, What the Golf It's Snow Time delivers winter-themed comedic gameplay for mobile gamers of all ages. Of course, it won Best Mobile Game at the Game Developers Choice Awards in 2020, and also won Best Mobile Game at IGN's Game Awards 2019. Again, it's available now exclusively on Apple Arcade. Both me and Greg really like What the Golf. I played it earlier this year for the first time, and I was blown away by the amount of different video game references are in the game. Like, they go ham in terms of referencing other things and turning golf on its head and, like, creating cool, unique mechanics based on hitting a thing with another thing. It's very impressive. It's very cool. And so go check out What the Golf. It's Snow Time. Story number 7.
I've been reading more into this Battle Pass business here for Fortnite subscription. Now I'm starting to think maybe I will do it. I will do it every month. Because don't forget, you're getting... So it's $12 a month, sure. But you're getting 1,000 Fortnite V-Bucks every month, right? Which, again, is a little over $10, right around $10. And I'm getting exclusive. So if think about all the times I buy the Venom pack or the whoever pack, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm... What was I spending? 20,000? I'm 2,000 V-Bucks there. So basically, you could do this subscription and just bank all the V-Bucks until you get to the big thing you want to purchase. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm gonna be giving them $20 in the future for the rest of my life, no matter what. Why not just give them the money ahead of time, get the coins and the bonuses out of it?
Making a lot of sense. Making a lot of sense.
Thank you, Kevin.
Losing some dollars though. You know what I mean?
Hey, oh my god, Kevin, you fucking nailed it. This is the Games Daily, everybody. We'll see you later.
Story number 7, this is one for me. A new Hitman map has been revealed. This is Jordan Allman at IGN. Kev, I have a video that I have attached here that you can play for the people as I read through the story. IO Interactive has revealed a new Chongqing location for Hitman 3 and released more details about how the game will run on PC and next-generation consoles. The new location takes Agent 47 to the neon-lit streets of Chongqing in China. A short video published by IO today shows off the new environment and digs into the power of the Glacier engine. Hitman 3 will include more than 300 active NPCs at once, and on next-gen consoles and PC, the game will run at 4K resolution and 60 FPS with HDR.
Oh god, look at how excited he got.
Just saying that
he got pumped.
Oh man, I can't wait. The video mentions that the rendering, animation, and AI upgrades coming to Hitman 3 will also be available retroactively in the missions of Hitman 1 plus 2, as the entire trilogy of missions will be available to players who purchase the third game. I'm like salivating as I say this.
You love it.
I love it so much. In a separate blog post detailing IO Interactive's partnership with Intel, it was revealed that PC players will receive special enhancements at launch and ray tracing as a post-launch update later in 2021. And it looks so good, Greg. this Chongqing location. I'm all about this. I'm all about all the lights and the colors and the new details added. Look at all those NPCs, Greg.
That's a lot of NPCs. A lot of people to blend in with.
And you can blend in with them, hide from enemies, assassinate targets. Oh, God, I'm all about it. Are you going to play Hitman 3? How can I convince you to play Hitman 3 with me?
I mean, I'll definitely try it out with you, sure. Like, I enjoy Hitman fine. I don't love it. So, like, we start it, and I think we've done the... Nick plays it a lot, and I've done Let's Plays with him. I think we did stuff over at GameSpot back in the day. I can't remember. But, like, it's always one of those things of, like, oh, I get this. This is cool, but I never stick around a long time. And I think some of that's episodic, you know what I mean? Since it drops, and I play it at launch for a little bit and then bounce out.
Well, that's because
you were such a fan. I knew you were excited. I remember when you literally were like, there's nothing people could do to get me excited in PlayStation VR again. And then it was like the Hitman thing went off and you flipped out.
Yeah. No, I absolutely, like, I think Hitman is, like, low-key one of the standout games of this generation. Like, this iteration of Hitman, like, between Hitman 1 and Hitman 2. The episodic nature of Hitman 1, I think, definitely did do some things to mess up the rollout of it a bit. Because, like, I think on one hand...
It served that audience, right? It served that audience.
Well, that's the thing. On one hand, like, you look at it and you're like, oh, no, this makes sense because people like to play Hitman levels over and over again. And the way in which you can modify certain missions and bring in new weapons and, like, tinker around with things, I think it made... I understand where the idea came from to make Hitman episodic, but it just didn't pan out for them in terms of sales and people actually showing up. And so Hitman 2 was the one where they were like, all right, we're throwing episodic out the window and we're just going to release this as one package. And I think that probably did better for them. And yeah, like Hitman 3, I'm very much looking forward to it because I really liked Hitman 1 and Hitman 2. And everybody should go play it. Everybody should play Hitman 3. Look forward to it. We're going to play it together. We're going to stream it. I'm writing it down right now.
Here's the thing.
We're playing it.
We're playing Hitman 3 streaming.
Yes.
Can I play and you coach me?
Oh, yeah. That sounds awesome.
Because you coming in and being the expert, I'm going to drift off. I'm going to start doing drugs on the side. Nobody will see me do it. Then you know what I mean? I'm lost in a haze. I disappear for 3 days. Jen doesn't know what's going on. It's a whole thing. If I get to play it, it'll have my attention. You can judge me harshly.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I really like Hitman. That's not to say I am good at Hitman.
Well, this is a great way to hide how good or bad you are at Hitman because I'll be the one losing over there.
All right. Let's do it.
All right.
It's a date. Write it down.
Handshake.
It looks like you're both reaching for me in a weird way. I don't like it.
You want to reach back to us? You can.
Is there a way to get like a 3D?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, you were. Is there a way to like make KHD 3D so that when we do stuff like that, like if folks are wearing the 3D glasses while watching and then it looks like our hands are sticking out to them and it's like a whoa kind of thing?
No.
Damn. Greg, I'm really excited for when we get the technology to be able to do these episodes in 3D, but that's probably so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grab shops today, where would I look?
You'd go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Greg, you look like Metal Gear Solid. I feel like you would take to the Hitman 3.
I'm sorry, Kevin was doing the yeah the whole time, so I could barely hear what you said. What did you say?
You're a big Metal Gear Solid person. You really like Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah.
I feel like we can somehow get that to translate into getting you to enjoy Hitman 3 more, even more. Because it's a similar level of, hey, you're in a systemic world and you're doing stealth and you're trying to take people out without people saying. Granted, Metal Gear Solid 5, I'd say, has a bit more. Like, there are way more NPCs to work with in terms of, like, enemies. And you're
The way I always thought of Hitman, right, and I think one of the reasons I didn't gel with it is that, and the new Hitmans from IO, they're puzzle games.
Yes.
And it's very much of, like, how do you solve this puzzle? And I'm not usually the biggest puzzle game guy. And so, like, I would start them and be and play it and enjoy it and understand what it's going for, but end up bouncing because I prefer it to be more that I have a plan. I go in to execute the plan. Something goes awry. Fuck. I can get out of it still and fuck it and solve it. Whereas Hitman was always like kind of like he failed. I'm like, ah, fuck. All right.
I feel that. I understand.
But I'm down to stream. We're streaming it. Don't forget. We're
streaming it. Out today, we got Monster Truck Championship for the Switch, More Dark for PS4, Mad Tower Tycoon for Xbox One, Watch Dogs Legion for PS5 physical, Football Manager 2021 PC, Professor Rubik's Brain Fitness for Switch, Survive for Switch, but the first letter of Survive is 2. And so it looks like Survive, but with a 2 at the beginning. Trax Toy Box Edition for Switch, Ram Pressure for PC, Santa's Xmas Adventure for Nintendo Switch or PlayStation 4, Hot Shot Racing Free Big Boss DLC. out today for that brings a new championship tracks and more for Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Do you think that's like the big boss I'm thinking of, or do you think that's just
I think it's just a large boss that you have to beat. I don't think it's big boss.
That'd be a great crossover. Hot
Konami's shot, like, you know what, we're not doing anything with Metal Gear. Go ahead, Hot Shot Racing. Put a big boss DLC in there.
New dates for you. There's a Holiday Bash winter event going on in Apex Legends Season 7. It's returning with a few new twists. This event will be live from December 1st to January 4th, and it'll provide the following limited time changes. A month of sales, brand new wintry cosmetics, return of a fan favorite mode being Winter Express, which is a mode that I'm very much looking forward to because I thought Winter Express was very fun, and then an all new rewards track. Look forward to that again December 1st. Mortal Kombat 11 Classic MK Movie Skin Pack has been revealed. Includes voices and likenesses from the original cast members. And if you haven't, you should check this out if you're into Mortal Kombat and the original Mortal Kombat movie. It's really awesome. Dark Complete Edition is creeping onto Xbox One and PS4 and PC on December 4th. The second annual hashtag Impy Awards will take place on February 14th, 2021. You can nominate your favorite dreams creators, and creations now and visit Media Molecule's ever-evolving in-game Impy Hub to check out the past winners and get updates in the run-up to the show. You can go to twitter.com/Media Molecule for more details on that. And then Warp Drive is coming out Friday on Apple Arcade. Deals of the day. Xbox games with gold for December have been revealed. We got The Raven Remastered, which will be available December 1st to December 31st. Bleed 2 will be available December 16th to January 15th. Saints Row Got Out of Hell will be available December 1st to December 15th. And then Stacking will be available December 16th to the 31st. Daybreak's catalog is getting a Black Friday... let me say that again. Daybreak's catalog is getting Black Friday discounts with various dates and deals. You're looking at DC Universe Online. That's going to have a Black Friday sale, which will feature 50% off replay badges, respect tokens, and skip to CR255. Greg, does that make sense?
That's a combat rating. That's a combat rating. Your character has a combat rating that gates you from content, but you're able to just skip right to it. And you'll notice I put this story in here, which is why I gave you the details on DC Universe Online, but not the next set of games.
Gotcha. And yeah, the next set of games are Dungeons & Dragons Online, EverQuest 2, Lord of the Rings Online, and PlanetSide 2. Again, various Black Friday discounts for those. So go check that out if you have any interest. Greg, we've had a very good and long show.
We sure have.
Right to Squad Up, of course, where people write in, let us know what they're playing, what they want to get done, and we squad them up with the community, and they can have fun. You see that? I made it rhyme. Made it rhyme off.
You nailed it. You crushed it.
I'm like the Eminem of this shit. Wow. Matt Dowth writes in with a Squad Up for Pokemon Go and says, for the first time ever, Pokemon Go is running a regional raid event with remote raiding turned on. I'd be grateful if anyone from outside of Europe could help me catch. And then he says, please have Greg read these. Greg, I'm going to have you read from here.
If anybody can help me catch these, Uxie or Azelf, I'd be happy to invite you to raid. Yeah. My friend code is 2640-2609-9323. Or if we can organize raids on Twitter where I'm at Matt Dowse, D-O-W-S-E. Much love. Have a great weird American Turkey Celebration Day.
You nailed it.
Thank you.
Proud of you. Now it's time for comicfunny.com/you're wrong. Rewrite and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. And we have one from RHD16 who says, to get EA Play with Game Pass, you have to pay $15 for Ultimate, not $10 for the regular subscription. I appreciate that because I sometimes forget that. And so that is a good you're wrong to point out. Hosts for next week, because remember, there's no Kind of Funny Games Daily for the rest of the week. Hosts for next week go like this. Monday, it's me and Tim. Tuesday, it's me and Imran. Wednesday, it's Greg and Witta. Thursday, it's Greg and Tim. And then Friday, it's Greg and me. We're back at it like a bad habit. If you're watching this live on Twitch, we have the Kind of Funny Games cast that's going on Patreon right after this. We're recording that live. And then Kind of Funny Podcast on Patreon is going down this afternoon. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.